as a believer and bear fruit in those that just are nominal Christians. So let's pray. Father, hear my prayer this morning, Jesus. I know you do. And touch the people's hearts and their ears to hear what you're saying to them. Wherever they are in life, if they're frustrated and just not moving forward in their relationship, in their health, in their wealth, in their career, whatever it is, Lord, open our ears to hear today what the solution is. Not the stuff, but it's you. And help us to see that in the scriptures today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. We started a series called True Christianity, and today we're on part three on this holiday weekend, and I knew many people would be out this weekend, and so I wanted to take you really, really deeper, but I'm not going to because I know many people will be out. But we're going to go into some really uncharted territory for many believers. True Christianity, the Bible, when I started this series, I read you some passages out of Timothy that talks about the latter times and how essentially Christ will be taken out of Christianity. Christ and Christianity will become like every other dead religion. And Christianity was never meant to be a religion. It was never meant to be an organization. It was always meant to be relationship. It's the difference between true Christianity and every other religion, every other dead religion. It's a relationship, knowing Jesus. So that's what we've been talking about, and we've looked at several scriptures over the past couple weeks. But we started right here in this parable that Jesus shared about a foundation. Shares it in Matthew chapter 7 and also Luke chapter 6, and we looked at it in both. But in Matthew chapter 7, the parable actually starts out with these verses. It says, Jesus saying this, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that scares me. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Look at the next one. Many will say to me in that day, and that day is the judgment day. The Bible says, that we all will stand before God in judgment. All of us, believers and unbelievers. Are you with me? And he says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. Who's saying that? They're saying that, not Jesus. Right? And then Jesus says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, who? You who practice lawlessness. So essentially what Jesus is saying here is, you're trying to convince yourself that you were really saved, but you continued on in your sinful life. Are you with me? You practiced sin. It was a normal practice for you. And even though you went to church and said, Lord, Lord, are you with me? And he says, but I never knew you. And so we've been studying that word new. We looked at what it meant. And of course, know, it means to know him. And what we found out, it means more than just a casual acquaintance, more than just knowing about him, but an actual intimate knowledge of him. And so we found this out in John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, just reviewing real quickly, this is Jesus in his what's called this high priestly prayer. In John chapter 14 through 17 is Jesus at the Last Supper, and then he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and prays. Remember, the disciples kept falling asleep when you read it in other gospels. But Jesus spoke these words. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. That is the call of every believer, by the way. Every believer's purpose in life is to give glory to God through your life. We're no longer to live for ourselves, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, but because he died for us, now we live for him. And that's every believer's purpose in life. Ultimate purpose in life, corporate purpose for every believer, is to glorify God in their life, regardless of your circumstances, but to give glory to God. We'll talk further about that. But he may glorify you, verse 2. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give, underline this in your Bible, eternal life to as many as you have given him. Jesus is praying to the Father. He says, you've sent me here to give eternal life to as many as you've given me. And then he gives definition, verse 3, and this is eternal life. here's what eternal life is, that they may know you. Remember what Jesus said? I never knew you. Eternal life is that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So Jesus defines eternal life in terms of knowing God. Not longevity of life, not being born again. He defines eternal life as knowing God. And knowing God, that word new, know, we see it here as new and know. We studied and found out over the last couple weeks that the word in the Greek is gnosko. The word in the Hebrew is yada. But what it means in both terms is to intimately know in relationship, to become well acquainted with. It's an idiom for sexual intercourse between a husband and wife. So that same word new or know is used in context of sex between a husband and wife. So Jesus says, I never knew you like a husband knows a wife. I never had intimate relationship with you where you bore fruit. That's what it is. Whenever that word is used, it's used mostly in terms of marriage between a husband and wife. I gave you several examples in Genesis chapter 4 in the Hebrew. Genesis chapter 4, Adam knew Eve and she bore him a child, right? Then it says in verse 17 that Cain knew his wife and bore a child. Then in verse 25, it goes on and on and on. And I wanted to show you this one because this is a good one, the New Testament. I showed you some about Mary. But here's another one in Luke chapter 30. Watch this. Luke chapter 30, this is he of whom I'm said. This is when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her she's going to have a child. He had to come to Joseph because Mary was pregnant, his fiance, but he had never had sex with her. He had never, as the Bible says it, knew her. He never known her. He knew her casually, but he'd never had intimacy as in a sexual relationship with her. Y'all with me? And in those days, you could be stoned if you had premarital sex. You could be stoned, both the woman and the man. And so the Bible says, and when you read in Matthew, that he was going to put her away privately. He didn't want to put her to shame, but he was not going to marry her. So I read to you last week where the angel came to him and said, no, don't put her away. She's pregnant, but not with any man's seed. She's pregnant of God. Right? And here, watch this. Then the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall and shall call his name Jesus. And verse 33 and 32 and 33 tell what he's going to do. But look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? She knew men, but she hadn't known a man like this. She hadn't sexually had sex with a man. And again, that's what I want you to see. This knowing is not a casual knowing. It's not, I knew about you, I heard about you. It is an intimate knowing. And that's what Jesus wants to have with every person. And this is what he calls eternal life. Are y'all listening to me? And what he said was, I didn't know you. And really, essentially, what he was saying was, I never had a relationship with you. Are y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Amen. So what we've been studying is that, knowing, having this relationship. So again, knowing God is to be in union with him, having an intimate, loving, personal relationship that results in bearing fruit. God wants your life. If y'all could put that definition up there for me, if you might. And take a picture of that, because that's what you need to know. This Christianity is not just going to church. It's not just having said a prayer. The best part is the genuine relationship that God wants to have with you. And the way that God shows us this in the scriptures is through the marriage relationship. Every time marriage is spoken about in the New Testament, it's always connected to this relationship with God through Christ. 100% of the time, when marriage is taught and discussed in the scriptures by Paul, he always connects it with being married to Christ. And that is how that relationship should be. If you've ever, and I did this test in the back with the choir and the band, but how many of y'all, by a show of raised hands, have been in a whack relationship, been in a bad relationship? Look, about 100% of people in here. Everybody knows what that feels like. Have y'all ever gone out on a date and then quickly thereafter you knew this ain't it? And you wants to go home. You want to get out of it. You're just like, dang, I'm just buying time right now. Come on, somebody. You ain't even got to buy. I got this. Just let me take care of this and be on my way. I just know it's not it. You got, and maybe they weren't a bad person, but you know, this ain't, you know, I'm wasting my time. This ain't gonna go nowhere. Come on, somebody. And if you're really saved, if you're really in a dating relationship, you're looking for that spouse that you're gonna marry. You're not just trying to get the hookup. Say amen right there. And that's what many believers do with Jesus, with God. They're trying to get a hookup without the relationship. They want the fruit of Christianity. They want the peace. They want the joy. They want the prosperity. They want all the stuff, but they don't want a relationship with Jesus. And so God likens this to relationship and marriage because it's the same exact thing. Are y'all listening to me? If you've been in a bad relationship, that's what most people are experiencing in Christianity because they don't have real relationship. It's they're just going through the motions. And it becomes very old and mundane and dead. And that's why they can take or leave church. They can take or leave the Bible. They can take it or leave it because they don't really have genuine relationship. And if you'll think of it in terms of that, you'll see you really do want to know Jesus. Many people want peace, but they don't want the Prince of Peace. But you don't get real peace without the Prince of Peace. And what many believers do, and this is what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are y'all learning today? Now watch, y'all. This'll change everything in your life because the husband that Jesus will be to you and to me will provide every single need, every desire fulfilled, every godly desire, every single thing that you're created for will come through that relationship. Everything. And so whatever it is you're lacking in life, Jesus truly is the answer to it. I know that becomes cliche, and it feels like cliche because so many people have never experienced it. I have a loving, loving relationship with my wife. I mean, we are best friends. Best friends. We have so much fun together all the time. I mean, we just really have a ball together. I mean, we just really like each other and love each other. We're best friends. You get what I'm saying? It's like I get to sleep with the best friend in my life. This is her. I love spending time with her. I love it. We just hang out. We just have so much fun laughing and talking and everything. Think about it. God wants to have that kind of relationship with you. Only difference is he has everything and knows everything. Shanae and I have weaknesses. Shanae and I are not perfect. You get what? We're imperfect. But Jesus, as your husband, is perfect. Many of us want love, but we don't want who is love. God is love. Are y'all with me? And so we're trying to get the stuff without the relationship with him. And so that's what we're going to talk about. And again, the Bible over and over and over in the New Testament talks about this marriage that we have to Christ. So let's look at some of these verses. First, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read verse 1 through 4. Watch this. I'm reading in the NLT today a lot just for simplicity. Y'all know that Jesus didn't speak in Elizabethan English like the old King James Version. I heard somebody say, "Well, if old King James was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me." Jesus did not speak in English, any English. Praise the Lord. Watch what Paul says here. Watch what Paul says. I hope you will put up with me a little more of my foolishness. And what he's saying right there, if you read in chapter 10, this whole thing he's talking about relationship with God and this genuine relationship that he has with God and how he must correct the people, and they were offended at that. All right? And they were offended at that, just like many get offended about what I'm saying right here. He says, I hope with you, you'll put up with me for a little bit more of my foolishness. Bear with me. For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband. What's his name? Christ. Are y'all listening to me? I promised you to a husband, Christ. But watch this. But I fear that somehow your pure, undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. Get what he's saying here. God was married to Adam and Eve in the garden. The devil tried to sell them. He did sell them a lie that God was holding out on them. If you eat of this tree, you'll be just like God. They already were. Everything that you need, Jesus has it for you. But the devil sold them a lie and said, God's holding out on you. Eat of this fruit, then you'll be like God. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion. God, every bit of dominion, everything they needed was with that relationship with Christ. Amen. In the garden. Are y'all with me? So he's saying, hear what he's saying. The devil wants to try to deceive you out of this relationship with Jesus by trying to sell you a counterfeit. This is why people get on drugs, get on alcohol, get on sex. Come on, somebody. If you really knew what real love was, you wouldn't settle for a counterfeit. You wouldn't. Sisters, do y'all hear me? If you knew what real, genuine love felt like, what it felt like, what it, the security and comfort that it provided, you wouldn't settle for a counterfeit. Someone just trying to get something from you without, or you just trying to get something from someone else without the benefits of that foundation of love and having Christ in the center. It's so much more fulfilling. The only reason we do that is because either the devil has deceived us with a counterfeit, or we just simply don't know what it means to have true love. And I think that's mostly the case. All right, with me? Watch what he says here in verse 4. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you. Do you hear what he's saying? Even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. He's saying you've been sold a counterfeit. That's the only way you don't have real relationship with Jesus. Did y'all see that there? So he's talking about a marriage relationship. Turn over in your Bible to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 21 through 32. Are y'all learning already? Say, I'm married to Christ. If you're a believer, you're married to Christ. You got the wedding was at the day you got born again. But now there's relationship. Shanae and I are closer now, nearly 25 years after our wedding date, and the wedding date was blissful. We got married in Jamaica. Negril, Jamaica. Sandals. We got married in sandals. Sandals, Negril. We're going back next year. We go back every 5 years to the place where we got married, just because it's fun. Right? But we'll go there. And we just have such great memories there. And it was such a great time. But do you know we've built better memories than our wedding? There's better memories. We've had many better times than our wedding day. Much better. We're closer now in our 50s than we were in our 20s and 30s. We think more alike. We're having more fun. It's life. Life is so much more than just that beginning stage. Are y'all with me? All right. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, NLT again. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, Paul is teaching on marriage here, but watch every single verse what he says. He said, in marriage, you should submit to each other just out of reverence to Christ. Just like you submit to Christ, submit to each other. Do you all know that even Christ submits to you? You know that in this marriage relationship, if you want healing, all you do is you do the things that bring that. You initiate that. If you don't want to get saved, Christ will not make you. If you don't want to get healed, Christ will not make you. You initiate those things, and he submits to your will, just as you submit to him. This is two-way. Now, thank you, Jesus. Because of an emphasis that I taught on grace and you understanding that You've got to understand the love of Christ for you. Many of you think that you're not supposed to love Christ. And that's a misnomer. It is important. It's vitally important. In fact, Jesus, the disciples and everybody was asking Jesus, what's the most important commandment? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. The second is like the first, love your neighbor like you love yourself. Then John improved on that and said, the last one is this, love your neighbor like the Lord loves you. Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. That's it. He improved on it. He said, don't love your neighbor like you love yourself. Love your neighbor like I love you. Unconditionally. Y'all get that? And that is a balance. There is, if I'm loving Shanae and she's not loving me, we don't have a marriage. If you're in a relationship with Christ, he loves you. That's unconditional. But if you don't love him, you don't have a relationship with Christ. Come on, hit the person next to you. Say, this is a two-way street. Are y'all with me? All right, here we are, Paul teaching on marriage. Further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Look at the next one. For wives, this means to submit to your husbands. How? As to the Lord. Notice the Lord is in this. Hit the next one. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of his body, the church. Every verse keeps talking about Jesus and his relationship to the church. Even though Paul's teaching about marriage, watch what he says. As the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to your own husbands in everything. He's teaching about marriage, but do you notice he has to use the church and Christ as the example? For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. He's instructing husbands how to love your wives, how? Give yourself up for her. Oh, dang. I was like, hold up now. You just crossed the line, preacher. No, that's what it is. That's true love, right? To make, watch, he says, because when you give yourself up for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He said, when you sacrifice for her, you're making her everything that's right. Amen. That's what Christ did for us. He gave himself up to make us right. It's a great exchange. Christ did not come to improve your life. He did not come to change your life. He came to exchange your life. He took your old life, took it away, and gave you his life. You get his righteousness, his holiness, his. You get all this. You don't need self-esteem. You need Christ's esteem. You need to know who you are now that you've been joined and made one with Christ. As a married person, my wife's name now is Stokes. Why? Because she takes on my name, my identity. Are y'all with me? When we got married to Christ, we lose our old life, our old nature, and take on his name, his nature, his character. Come on, somebody. He did this, did what? Sacrificed himself to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. We're talking about marriage, but he keeps talking about Christ and the church. Without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Next. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. Why? What? Because Christ's body is you and me now. We're joined together as one. He says he loves his body because it's him. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. Next. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. Come on, do y'all see this every verse? Every verse is about Christ and the church. And we are members of his body, just like a husband and wife are one body. We're the body of Christ. We're married to him. We've been formed into union, one with him. As the scriptures say, a man, what? A man leaves his father and mother and is joined, united, made one with his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a union where you become inseparable. Come on, somebody. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. He said all marriage is an example of something that's invisible. It's a visible illustration of what you and I can't see, the marriage with you in Christ. Come on, somebody, give God a shout of praise. So today, what I want you to do as we go further in the scriptures is see it that way. Now, if you've got a jacked up, toe up from the flow up marriage, it's hard to understand this. But when you have a blessed marriage, and watch, the key to a blessed marriage is understanding this relationship with Christ. You get that relationship right, you'll love your wife right. And wife, if you understand that relationship with Christ, you'll get the reverence for your husband right. You'll get submission right. Do y'all see it? It's all based on Christ, though. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, so it's all an illustration about Christ and the church. That's what marriage is. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, again, verse 15 through 20. Are y'all learning already? I know we got a lot of Dallas fans in here since Dallas played on Thursday and lost. I don't know if they're playing. Uh-oh, Bobby's pulling out his gun. All right, I'm sorry. Uh-oh, Dallas fans really ready to cuss. Like, really? Are you going to mess up the anointing like that now? All right, watch this. Here again, some more teaching about marriage. More teaching about marriage, but watch what Paul says. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? My wife, Shanae, is a part of me, right? Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Answer, never. Next. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say, the two are united into one. See, y'all think that sex is just frivolous, that it's just a physical act. It's much more than that, saint of God. It's much more. And you watch, I don't even have to preach it. I'm just read the Bible. For the person who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. So he's saying, watch, born again believer, even if you're single, you're joined together to the body of the Lord and you're one spirit with him. Are you with me? Say covenant. That's covenant, all right? He says, run from sexual sin. No other sin clearly affects the body. People cannot figure out why cancers, sickness, stuff happens with believers. A lot of it is here. Not everything, but a lot of it is right here. Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian, Catholic, Episcopalian, Protestant church. Run from sexual sin. Say run. I need everybody in this place today to say it. Run from sexual sin. This is not my opinion. This is God's opinion. Run from sexual sin. No other sin clearly affects the body as this one does, for sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, born again believer, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Your body isn't yours to do with as you want. There's so much I could preach about here. All you got to do is turn on the news. This body is mine, and that baby in that body is my body. No, it's not. First of all, your body isn't even yours. Not if you're born again. Now, the world, they got a whole different set of rules and morals. But we as believers, don't you dare say your body belongs to you. It does not. Read the Bible. Am I smiling? Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Next verse, last one. For God bought you with a high price. What was that price? His own life, his blood. He paid for you. This is why you're of such great value. The value of something is not determined by the thing. It's determined by the price that was given for the thing. You're priceless and one of a kind because God paid Jesus' life for you. Amen. That'll sink in when you get home. So watch this. So you might as well honor God with your body. No. So you must honor God with your body. Believer, Now, I'm talking to believers who believe the Bible, and remember what Jesus said. There's a lot of people who say, yes, Lord, Lord. And he said, no. I'm Lord, Lord, if you do what I say. Come on, somebody. If I really love Shanae, I'm not going to commit fornication or adultery on her. I'm not. I'm just playing. Jesus said, if you really love me, you'd keep my commandments. That's the acid test, all right? We're not there yet, but let's go on. Now, many Christians, ooh, this is where I've been wanting to get to. Sorry, y'all, I get so excited about the Bible. Many Christians receive Christ, but never continue to develop relationship with him that bears fruit. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 12. I'm going to read again in New Living Translation. The whole new covenant was instituted for this reason, so we could know God. The new covenant was instituted because God wanted to have a relationship with man from the beginning of time, but sin separated man from God. All right? So God had to let man know that they were sinful by giving them the law. But that wasn't God's intention to make us live by a law. God's intention was to know us on the inside. Amen? Let's read this. Here in Hebrews chapter 8, this is where the new covenant is stated. Now, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, the Levitical order, right? For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. The old covenant, Moses brought the covenant, but it needed a mediator. There were these natural men priests. You couldn't just roll up to God. You had to go through a priest. Now, Jesus said, I'm that mediator. I'm the one you're coming to now. I'm the sacrifice. I'm the high priest. I'm the lamb. I'm the God. I'm everything. No more in-betweens. You get to come straight to me now. Are y'all seeing it? Giving us a high priest. Verse 7. For if the first covenant, that's the Old Testament, old covenant rather, had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, the old covenant focused on our faults and weaknesses. All right? He says, but when God found fault with the people, he said, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors. Watch this. When I took them by the hand and led them. Took them by the hand. So already, this old covenant said God was taking them by the hand and leading them. It implies we're not one. I'm trying to lead you from the outside. All right? He says that old covenant took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. Look at this. But this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they'll be my people. Watch what he's saying here. Instead of me having to be out here dragging you and pulling you to do right, I'm going to live on the inside of you and give it in your mind and in your heart. I'm going to become one with you and make my thoughts your thoughts and your thoughts my thoughts. We'll combine. We'll be one together. You'll be my people and I'll be your God. Watch this, an intimacy. They will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should gnosko, know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. The whole new covenant is about knowing him. And what Jesus is saying here is, you're not going to need a mediator in between me and you. You're going to be able to come directly to me now. And know me. I want to know you. Now, everyone will have that ability. Now, watch, y'all, because some of us don't realize how important this is. How many of you need to know? There's something you want to know about your life. Y'all, can I talk to you real, real here? Life is so short. Life is so short. It's so, so short. Even I can't even believe it. I'm nearly 60 years old now. 60 years old? What? I can't even believe it my own self. I'm going to be leaving this earth at some point. You too? I would hate to have lived my life, my entire life, being quote unquote born again and never know what really God had for me. All the great things he had, the relationship. There's so much in life to see and enjoy. And so many of us sell ourselves short because we don't know the Lord, really know him. Let's dig in a little bit deeper. Y'all with me? Say, not me, I'm gonna know the Lord. How many of y'all are hearing me this morning? Are y'all hearing me? Amen, amen. Watch this. Watch what he says. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. This is why we get to have this relationship with him, because he paid the price for all of our sins and exchanged our old spirit with his new spirit. Are y'all with me? And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Is that the last one? Okay. Now, go on over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Oh my God, I'm having a ball up here. 1 John. John, the beloved, had the greatest revelation of this relationship in love with Jesus. He's the one who called himself the one who Jesus loved, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He always referred to himself that way. He never referred to himself as John. He says, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a revelation about the love of God that wouldn't allow him to be killed. They threw John in a hot boiling pot of oil to kill him, and he walked out of it. They could not kill him, so what they decided to do was put him on the island of Patmos. Y'all know what he did? Read the first few verses of the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ. He wrote that book there. They just said, well, let's just get rid of him. Get him out of here. He's raising the dead. He's preaching the gospel. Let's get rid of him. Put him over there. And he wrote the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. What did he have? He had a revelation of who Jesus was. He had a relationship with him. He knew how much God loved him. He's the one who penned. It's not how much you love Jesus. It's how much he loves you. Why? Because he had a revelation of that love that God had for him. Therefore, he was able to love Jesus like no one else. Come on, somebody. Amen. Are y'all learning? Now watch what he writes here. Watch what he writes. Anyone who I'm in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. I'm reading it in the Passion Translation. Great translation. Watch this. Anyone who indulges in sin lives in moral anarchy, for the definition of sin is breaking God's law. He said, anyone who lives in sin, you know without a doubt that Jesus was revealed to eradicate sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in union with him. Whoa. Anyone who continues to live in union with him will not sin. And what he's talking about, live habitually in sin. If we're still living in fornication, if we're still living in adultery, if we're still caught up in homosexuality, in lesbianism, if we're still caught up in there, there's the answer. Because we're not living in union with him. Come on, do y'all see that? And with a next one, please. But the one who continues sinning hasn't seen him with discernment or known him by intimate experience. I told you I don't even have to preach. All I got to do is read the Bible. Delightfully loved children, you're loved. Don't let anyone divert you from this truth. The person who keeps doing what is right proves that he is righteous before God, even as the Messiah is righteous. But the one who indulges in a sinful life is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning, the reason the Son of God was revealed was to undo and destroy the works of the devil. He says, this believer, even if they're born again and they're still living in sin. Yeah. Now watch this. Watch this, y'all, because he's going to really break it down in the next verse. He says it's because the devil is deceiving him. Yeah. All right, watch this. Watch this one. Everyone who is truly God's child will refuse to keep sinning because God's seed remains within him. If you're really born again, now watch. We all will miss it, and all of us can miss the mark. Come on, y'all with me? I'm not preaching condemnation on people. But you know good and well, if you're really born again, you're going, I can't live like this, though. I can't live like this. And you don't feel good about your sin. Sin has some happiness for a season, but it don't last. You can't live with that. Say amen right there. Stop playing. refuse to keep sinning because God's seed remains in him, and he is unable to continue sinning because he has been fathered by God himself. If you're really born again, the seed of God is in you, and you cannot live in sin. Here's how God's children can be clearly distinguished from the children of the evil one. Anyone who does not demonstrate righteousness and show love to fellow believers is not living with God as his source. Come on, is that the acid test? Next. Is that the last one? Okay, jump on over to chapter 4. Watch, he's going to break it down, John. Watch what John says here. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. Knows God. Remember what I said. Knows God. Has an intimate relationship with him. He said, if you really know God, you're going to hear the word. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What he's saying is some believers get into error because they're not hearing the word. They're believers, but they're in error. Come on, somebody. Are y'all learning today? God, Beloved, watch this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. Watch these words. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Notice he mentioned two things. Everyone who loves his wife, loves God. Who really loves, number one, they're born again of God, and number two, they also gnosko, know God, have a genuine relationship. Read the next verse carefully. He who does not love does not know God. Can he be born of God? He left that out. Back up to the last verse. I lost some of y'all already. In your Bible, on this last line, circle born and knows. He separated them, clearly made a distinction here. Let us love one another. He says, we as believers, if you really know God, you're born again. Watch. If you're born again, because there's a lot of believers that are born again, they're converts, but they don't know God. Y'all see the difference? They end up getting divorced after divorce after divorce. Not that isn't everybody's scenario. But some people don't know how to love because they don't know God personally. And that's a progressive relationship. Are y'all with me? That's a progressive thing. You'll know God just like you'll know your wife. If you really love them, you'll know them more next year than you did this year. If you're growing in that relationship, it'll get better and better and better and better and closer and more the more you walk with him. God's saying, some people who don't love, the people who don't love, it's because, no, let me read it like it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who is born, who loves, is born of God, number one, and number two, what? Knows God. Read the next verse carefully. I'm slowing down for y'all. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. What did he leave out? They're born. They can be born of God, but not know God. All right? Remember the two commandments. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind. Second, love your neighbor like I love you. Can't do that if you don't know God and know his love. And that's what these chapters are about. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Next. Is that the last one? All right. Okay. Now, jump on over in your Bible. Jump on. Ooh, read chapter 1. John, read verse 6 in the Amplified. Good God. Watch this, because this makes it plainer. I just backed up to verse 6. I wanted you to see this in the Amplified. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God progressively to perceive, recognize, and understand God by observation and experience, and to get an ever clearer knowledge of him, listens to us, and he is not of he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know, recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I wanted you to see that this relationship with God is progressive. And just like in marriage, you have to pursue each other. This is not going to happen casually. This is why hearing, and there's so much more I got to teach you. Faith is a part of this. You cannot please God without faith. It is a mutual relationship, not just God loving you. You have to love him. And how you do that, we're going to explain all that. Are y'all with me? Okay, here, we're coming to our last verses here. Y'all learning? Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2:2-5. I'm going to read in the Amplified Bible. Come on, y'all. I am so excited about this. I couldn't hardly wait to get here today. Are y'all learning? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read in the Amplified Bible. Watch this. Like newborn babes, now he relates born again to either being a born again babe or a marriage. Two things. Y'all get it? Watch this. Like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto completed salvation. Next. Since you have already tasted the goodness and kindness of the Lord. He's saying, you got born again. He said, I want to liken it to a baby. We likened it to marriage in Ephesians, but Peter likens it to a newborn babe. He says, it's like a newborn baby. He said, you, after you get born, if you're truly born again, you're going to have a desire for the word. You need that word. You need that milk. Here's an acid test for true salvation. A hunger to hear this word. Verse 4. Watch this. He said, since you've already tasted of it, now you got an appetite for it. You got born again. Now you got to have it. Come to him then, to that living stone which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. He says, after you're born again, you got to keep coming to him. Keep pursuing him. Look at the next verse. Come. And like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. He says, after you get born again, after you get married, you're going to have to still keep coming to him. Come to him so you can get built up into the completed version of what he's created you to be. You've got to keep coming. You've got to keep coming to the word. You've got to keep coming to praise and worship. You've got to keep doing it. Just like in a marriage, there's a lot of bad marriages because they didn't do what they did to get there. They stopped dating. They stopped having intimacy. They stopped talking. You got to keep pursuing the Lord, praying, having fellowship with him. We'll get to that next week. Are y'all with me? Come on, somebody. Anybody learning? Turn over to John chapter 5, verse 38-40. Come on, y'all. God, I'm having so much fun. John chapter 5, look at this. Jesus fussing with the scribes and the Pharisees. They said, we know God. We know God. We know his word. We know that. Look what Jesus' response is. He says, you do not have his word abiding in you. We're going to get to that in John chapter 15 and next week. But you do not have his word abiding in you. Yeah, you mentally know some stuff, scribes and Pharisees. He says, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You don't really have his word because you don't believe me. Watch this. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. Verse 40, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have eternal life and know me. You think that your religion, just getting in the Bible, is knowing me? He said, no. If you really got into the word, it would bring you to me. Whew. I'm working hard. Can y'all see that? I'm teaching the Bible up here. That's why y'all come. This is what I do. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Almost done. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27-30. Again, I'll have to expound on this because this is a great teaching. Watch what Jesus says here. He says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows this. Look at this. No one knows the Son except the Father. This is when before he went to the cross. No one knows the Son except the Father. By the way, that word there is epinosis. No one even has a revelation. deeper knowledge of who the Father is or who the Son is. Nobody has it. Watch this. Except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. He's going to show that God's going to reveal himself to the disciples. Watch this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Watch this. Take my yoke upon you. Y'all know what a yoke is? Two bullocks or cows or whatever put their head in a thing and they yoke them together. Jesus is saying, come to me and yoke up with me. Become one with me. Walk with me in union where you can't get separated. He used an example here of the cows, right? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Let me teach you. Let me teach you about marriage. Let me teach you about real love. Let me teach you about what you're supposed to do with your career. Let me teach you about your money. Let me teach you. Learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you'll link up to me, I'm telling you, I'll give you genuine rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Turn to our last passages. I got to break that down another time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Amplified version, and we're going home. Come on, how many of y'all appreciate this today? How many of y'all glad you came today? Some of y'all not like me. I already prayed. I just said, Lord, help whoever's supposed to get it. Praise the Lord. That's all I can do. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, God. Chapter 3 and 4 are all about this. Watch just what he's saying here, Paul. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When you get this union, this right with Christ, this union, this real relationship, and say it's progressive. All right? He said it will emancipate you from bondage, right? It will set you free from the addictions. It will set you free from the whatever the stuff is. This relationship with him will do that. And all of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. He's saying, as you fellowship and begin to see the Lord in the Word, you begin to see yourself. You're joined with the Lord as a mirror, the glory of the Lord. A mirror. It's a mirror reflection of the glory of the Lord that's in you now. He says, are constantly being transfigured into his very image. As you walk with him in this union, you start getting transformed. Some of the old whack relationships that you used to regal in, that you used to have fun in, they don't become fun anymore when you really have relationship with him. You start getting free of that stuff. Y'all getting thin on the claps now, like, don't mess with my booty call now. Don't mess with my booty call, Pastor Lee. Don't mess with my sugar daddy. Don't mess with my sugar mama. I thank God I'm a real pastor with y'all. Some of y'all don't appreciate it, but I am so glad I am not pulling no punches with you. This is what it is. You want to bless life. This is how you do it. And if you're caught up in some kind of stupid relationship, because we've all gotten caught up before, didn't want to be, but just got caught up. Anybody been there? Has anybody got caught up in stuff like, dang, here I am again. I didn't want to get caught up in this foolishness. You got to be real with yourself. And with this real relationship with God, come on, I've gotten caught up on a pound cake like I didn't want to be. Potato chips. They's telling the truth. Nobody can eat just one. I can't eat just one bag. French fries, anything with potatoes, I'm through. I'd be like, dang, I did not mean to eat this whole bag. Let me go get some more. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Get caught up in stuff. Here's what relationship with God is. Lord, help me. Help me, Father. I'm caught up in this. And I can't seem to get out of this. I keep coming back to this. I need your help, Father. I know this isn't good for me. I know it's not right. Help me. Thank you for your grace. Come on, somebody. Y'all hear it? That's what genuine relationship is. And as you keep walking with him, somehow got to cut that thing off or give you the strength to cut it off. And as long as you're caught up in the wrong thing, God can't bring you the right thing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be caught up in something foolish when God's got blessing on the other side of this foolishness for me. I'm ready to live the blessed life that God has for me. I want to be transformed into His image. I don't want to be the person I used to be. I want to be like Him. Is there anybody that wants to be like Jesus in this place? Let me read this and we're going home. And all of us with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is that Spirit. Are y'all with me?